Now let's remember, we're collecting brownies this month for Christian neighbors. And as Rachel put in the newsletter, they're entitled to some good, loving stuff like brownies. And you have your prayer list, and it's great to take it home and put it by your stand, by wherever you sit and pray, and use it, because we know that it works and the Lord appreciates all of our prayers. Are there any other announcements? How about some joys or concerns? Rich?
I'd like to continue the prayer for our friends that have been able to do the top one.
Okay. You bet. Well, if there isn't anything else, it's time to ring the bell.
For prayers for people, I meant to mention Joanne. Right before we left this morning, she called and said she couldn't make it. Her eyes are hurting. So she's going to be going back to the eye doctor. So prayers for her. If you're able, will you stand for the call to worship? Take heart. For we are gathered in the Father's presence. Get up, for we are beckoned by the risen Son. God is calling us, for we are united by the Spirit. Come, let us worship God. By continuing with the opening prayer. O Jesus Christ, teacher and healer, you heard the cry of the blind beggar when others would have silenced him. Teach us to be persistent in prayer and give us courage to ask plainly what we need. By the power of the Spirit, through the ministry entrusted to us, for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Now we'll sing 157, Jesus Shall Reign.
Jesus. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you this morning, and it's good for Mary and I to be here. We were kind of watching the roadside and yards for tree limbs and trees down between our place and here, and we really couldn't see much. I know that on the north side of Grand Rapids and the east side of Grand Rapids, there was a lot of ice, and I was watching last night and this morning the number of churches that were closed because of power failure. Their power hadn't been restored yet, and we probably all have stories of times when we lost power in the wintertime, and that's a terrible situation to be in. So I'm not going to tell you some of the stories from my experience, because I think we've all had those, but so thankful for the people that are restoring the power, and it's one of those things that we take for granted, I think. At least I do. Most of the time I hit the switch and light comes on and I don't think anything about it at all. So it's one of those modern day conveniences that when we don't have it, we really take notice. We did have a problem here at the church. Rick was telling me about it. We had a chunk of ice come down, evidently, and it took out our telephone lines, and there was damage either from that or related to the weather, at least, that broke our exhaust pipe for our furnace. And so that was a concern, and it was there's a temporary fix on it. There's no possibility for us to breathe in fumes we shouldn't breathe in, but it'll be fixed permanently or in a more permanent way later this week. But anyway, we were affected a little bit here by the weather, and strange weather. We say that every year, I think, but God is good. All the time. I want to invite you to a time of prayer, and following the Lord's Prayer, when we offer that, then we will sing the chorus, His Name is Wonderful, 174 in our hymnal. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, because of your love, your grace, and your mercy, we are able to say every day, this is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. We are thankful for so much. And Lord, we give you praise. We express to you our love, our gratitude, our appreciation for all your gifts, everything that you do for us. We thank you for the measure of health and strength we experience in our lives each day. We thank you for family and friends. We thank you for this church family. We thank you for those gifts of life that we experience each day and often are not mindful or express our gratitude to you. But in this moment, we give you thanks. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, his life, his teaching. We thank you that he died on the cross for us and was raised with power for us. We're thankful that through him, his death on the cross, we receive forgiveness. We are born anew. We become part of your family. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our guardian and guide, who helps us understand your word, who gives us wisdom and direction for our lives, convicts us of sin, and helps us to live in obedience to your word and your will. We thank you for the spiritual gifts that are ours through your Son. And we thank you for your great love, your great mercy, and your grace that has touched our lives. And we are thankful that you're a God who cares about people. You care about those that have been named in this service and named in our hearts. We offer prayers. We pray for your presence. We pray for your love and grace, mercy, strength, those things that are needed for those who are in our hearts this day. We offer prayers for our world. Pray for people who hurt, people who are far away, people who are close. We pray especially for those who are innocent victims. We pray for your presence and for your people and even for us to minister in your name. We pray for your church. We pray for that larger church that includes many different churches and denominations. We pray for the proclamation of your word this day, that it would not return empty, but would accomplish its purpose. We pray for the churches in our community, churches where we live, and for Saugatuck UMC. Help us together to be faithful to you and use us, we pray, in meaningful ways to share your word, to give expression to your love, and use us to invite people into relationship to you through your Son. We offer prayers for ourselves. We ask for forgiveness where our lives have fallen short of your standard. We pray you would forgive our sins. Help us to truly repent and be changed. And use us always to your honor and glory. Pray for this worship service. May we each receive from you that which we need this day and go from this place strengthened, better able to serve. Hear us now as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. The scripture reading today is Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8 and 19 through 22, and it's on page 490 in your Bible. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man who takes refuge in him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our healing prayer this morning is different from what we have been using. It's found in your bulletin, and it's similar, and at the designated place, you will have the opportunity to speak aloud or silently the names of those whom we pray for today. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy. At this time, our ushers will wait upon us and we will receive our offering. it's our prayer that you would accept and honor these gifts that we give to you today. Bless them and use them, and we pray, use us to your honor and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now we'll sing out of the praise we sing, How Far Away, on 1, 2, 8.
I think it's a great song, it's not a song that I don't believe I've ever used in church before, partly because churches I've served prior to here, I don't believe we had this or we used this particular songbook. And so what I do oftentimes, when a song isn't familiar with me, I go on the internet, I listen to it, and I make a decision on whether I think the congregation will be able to sing the song. I had one picked out for this Sunday, an old hymn. I wasn't familiar with it. And I listened to it, and it was so, so slow. I said, we don't want to try to sing that song. And then I was looking at this, and I thought, that's a nice, peppy song. It's got a good message. And I think the congregation will be able to sing it. And I'm not always right about that, but you did a great job. And I think we need to sing that again. It might be okay for some funerals. But, I hate to associate any particular hymn or song with a funeral, although that happens sometimes. The other thing that I thought of that I've shared with you before, when I was in Bible college, everyone in the school had to have a Christian service assignment. And so people had different kinds of assignments. Some people went to a church in the area and taught Sunday school. My first assignment, I think I had it for 2 years, was the jail team ministry. I don't know if you could do that today, but back there in Oskaloosa, Iowa, that was the county seat, they had a county jail, and I and a couple other students would go there on Sundays and talk to some of the people that were there, usually not for real serious crimes. And sometimes we were able, hard to believe today, but we were able to take someone from the jail to a church service and bring them back. And so I believe that was my Christian service assignment for 2 years. And then I had the opportunity to preach at a little country church out in Tilton. It was Tilton, wasn't it, Mary? Wasn't that what it was? Tilton, Iowa, the church. And we had a congregation, sometimes maybe this big, sometimes a little bit smaller. So I've gone complete circle now. But there was a farmer, and we had Sunday morning and Sunday night service, and there was a farmer in the congregation. His name was Mr. Ritchie. And one Sunday night, we just had a few people show up. And you've heard this before. He said to me, "Pastor, you know, when I'm feeding my cattle and I only have a few of them show up," he said, "I don't give them the whole load." And I looked him right in the eye and I said, "But I do." I think I could have come up with a better answer, but that was it. It's good to be here, and it's good to share with you this morning. Heavenly Father, as we prepare our hearts, we ask that you would help us to hear your word, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together would be acceptable in your sight through Christ our Lord. Pray in his name. Amen. Well, last Sunday, I spoke to you about a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus who was healed by Jesus. And there are actually 6 points in the sermon, and I covered 3. I told you what the future 3 would be for this Sunday, so I just wanted to reset the table for the message. Charles Allen has a little book that he titled The Touch of the Master's Hand. And in that book, in the section that talks about the healing of Bartimaeus, he says that in that story there are 6 steps of the gospel. 6 steps, not just for healing, but 6 steps for the gospel. And William Barclay, in his daily Bible commentary, in summarizing the miracle, he says, "Bartimaeus began with need and went on to gratitude and finished with loyalty." Says Barclay, that is a perfect summary of the state of discipleship. There is a process that takes place, and in a moment I'll review the 3 that we talked about briefly, but just to remind you that Bartimaeus was a blind man who lived in Jericho. He was sitting on the side of the road as Jesus made his way to Jerusalem. Jesus was on his way to the Passover. He would, in a few days, be celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples, would be crucified, dead, buried, placed in the tomb, and then rise again. He's making that final journey to Jerusalem, and as he's going, Bartimaeus is beside the road, and he hears this commotion, and he had heard about Jesus, but as he hears the commotion, he must have asked someone, and he learned that Jesus was passing by. Here's the account as it's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, It's reading verses 46 through 52. And this morning I want to read to you the Message version of this passage. Jesus and the disciples spent some time in Jericho. As Jesus was leaving town, trailed by his disciples and a parade of people, a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting alongside the road. When they heard that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, mercy, have mercy on me." Many tried to hush him up, but he yelled all the louder, "Son of David, mercy, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped in his tracks. "Call him over." They called him. "It's your lucky day. Get up. He's calling you to come." Throwing off his coat, he was on his feet at once and came to Jesus. Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "On your way," said Jesus. Your faith has saved and healed you." In that very instant, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus down the road. 6 steps. The first step is, whatever our need is, realizing that need. That's the first step. It's a big step. Not always easy for us to discern or to admit our need. Second step is the awakening of our belief in Christ and our desire for Him. In other words, to come to the realization that Christ can and will help us. And the third step, we must ask for Christ's help. Come to Christ, tell Him what we want. The fourth step, fourth part of this process, was Bartimaeus' prayer. What he prayed for and how he prayed. Notice that Bartimaeus was not ashamed. At first, the people tried to stop him. He was beside the road. He heard the commotion, and he started to call for help. And it was the custom in those days for a teacher, as he walked along, to give instruction to his listeners, to give teaching, to answer questions. And so the people that were around Jesus wanted to hear what Jesus was saying. And here was Bartimaeus making all this noise. And so they said, "Be quiet, hold your peace, we can't hear Jesus." But he was persistent. He cried even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy! Jesus, Son of David, have mercy!" No, I think it's easy to be concerned about what other people may think. And there are always people who scoff. They scoff at the church. They scoff at the power of prayer. And sometimes if we get too concerned about what others might think, we can miss the blessing that Jesus wants to give to us. There were only two things that were on Bartimaeus' mind. He needed the power of Jesus to meet his need. And the Bible says that when someone tried to stop him, he cried the more a great deal. He had a need, and he knew that Jesus could meet that need. This is what William Barclay says. In the mind of Bartimaeus, there was not just a vague, nebulous, wistful, sentimental wish to see Jesus. It was a desperate desire, and it's that desperate desire that get things done. I wonder how often we pray the way that Bartimaeus prayed. And note that what Bartimaeus does not do in his prayer, he doesn't make excuses for himself. He doesn't say, my blindness it's not quite as bad as other people's blindness. Or he doesn't do the opposite. He doesn't say, there are other people that are blind, but my condition is much worse. He doesn't try to make some kind of excuse. This is what he says. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. No excuses. That's all I prayed. But that was enough. And Mark tells us, and this is insightful, I think. He says Jesus was walking along. He's having this conversation with his disciples and the people that were around him. He's headed to Jerusalem. He knows what's going to happen in Jerusalem, that there he will suffer and die on the cross. He knows that's happening. He has this purpose in mind. And then a blind beggar, a nobody, sitting on the side of the road, says, Lord, have mercy. And Jesus stops in his tracks. He stops. It tells us that the prayer that gets God's attention is like the prayer of Bartimaeus. It's sincere. It truly comes from the heart. Earnest prayer. Prayer in the Spirit. And unless we pray like Bartimaeus, our prayers will not even reach the ceiling. If we pray like him, the way he prayed, it gets God's attention in a way that our prayers sometimes don't. I'm mindful of our kids when they were growing up. There were things that they wanted, but it was a fleeting want. It was in the moment. It was not something that they really, really, really wanted. And as a parent, sometimes you have to be able to discern what's really wanted, and even more important, what's needed. I think one of the most needed things from our family's perspective was when our kids were playing basketball in high school, and they needed shoes. You have to have shoes, special shoes, to play basketball. And they needed shoes like the majority of the other kids on the team were going to have. And I guarantee you, those are always the most expensive shoes that they sell. And then add to that, our oldest boy, he had big feet. I mean, we'd go to the shoe store, and they either wouldn't have his size, or they'd only have like one or two shoes of that size. But in our kids' minds when they were playing basketball in high school, that was something that was not a fleeting desire on that their part. It was something they really, really wanted. And we tried to listen to them and honor that because we knew it was sincere. And our prayers to God are the same way. They have to come from the heart. They have to have real meaning in them for us. And Bartimaeus was persistent. He was going to keep hollering, crying out, until either he got Jesus' attention or Jesus was so far away he wouldn't be able to hear him. So that is the fourth step. The fifth step is removing everything that keeps us from Jesus. Mark tells us, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. The Message version, as I read earlier, has it this way: throwing off his coat, he was on his feet at once and came to Jesus. Now, his coat, there wasn't anything bad about his coat. For a blind man like Bartimaeus, it was sort of like a garment, but also like his bedroll. It had just about everything he owned, and he would lay it out at night and sleep on it. But in that moment, as he was getting to his feet and trying to make his way to Jesus, he realized that it was a hindrance, that it was holding him back. It was keeping him from getting to Jesus easily and quickly. So he threw it off. I think Mark included that detail in the account of this healing for a reason. It points to a place where many fail. Bartimaeus didn't hesitate. He threw the coat, and he realized it was keeping him from Jesus. There are things sometimes in our lives that keep us from Jesus, things that we are unwilling to let go of. Not necessarily bad things, but they take our time, they take our attention, and in doing so, they can keep us from the Lord. Here is the test. Whatever it is, as long as there is anything that you are unwilling to surrender, you cannot possess the power of the Savior. When I was learning ham radio and learning Morse code, I had a guy, he was actually younger than me, that was a mentor for me, and he was helping me. But one of the things I learned as I got to know him better was that he was completely obsessed with ham radio. That's all he could think about. That's all he could talk about. He would stay up late at night on the ham radio. He would go to meetings. He would be involved in all kinds of ham radio contests. He was in college. He was married. He had kids. And he was devoting so much time to that. And I wondered at the time, and later I learned, I believe he had to drop out of school and get things organized again, but his wife and he separated. And I wondered, I don't know, I wondered if his obsession with ham radio had somehow separated him from his family, from his schoolwork. I don't know. But I know there are things that can come into our lives that are not necessarily bad things, but they can separate us from the Savior. There are other hindrances too. Sin, sinful habits. It's a coat that we need to cast away. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Whatever wrong I have done, whatever it is that separates me from the Savior, He is able and He is ready to forgive. But Jesus cannot forgive until we forsake, until we cast it away. When you kneel to pray, is there something that comes between you and God? If there is, there is the need to turn it loose and trust Him to give grace and strength to overcome it. Like Bartimaeus, we have to throw off anything that hinders and keeps us from Christ. Step 6. Bartimaeus received what he needed, and he started following Jesus. The miracle would not have been complete if only Bartimaeus' sight had been restored. Many people think that's the miracle. His sight was restored. It's only part of the miracle. Listen to Jesus' words to him. I like this. On your way. On your way. Your faith has saved and healed you. Saved and healed you. To be physically healed but remain spiritually lost would be a partial miracle at best. True healing includes our body, our mind, our spirit. And that was the experience of Bartimaeus. This is a story that comes from Will Willman. Willman was the chaplain at Duke University at their chapel there, and I believe he went on to become a bishop. He tells this story. He says, "I was teaching a sixth grade Sunday school class," he says, "a wretched age, and was telling them in as vivid detail as I knew how of the arrest, trial, and crucifixion of Jesus, how the soldiers carried him away, how Pilate and the people conspired to do Jesus in." A hand went up. "Yes, Bradford, what is it now?" "I want to know, where was the rest of them when things got rough for Jesus?" "The disciples?" "Oh, they were gone," I replied. "No, the rest of them," he persisted. "Whatever became of all of them that he helped, the ones he healed, now that they had two good legs to walk on and two good eyes to see, where was they when the soldiers come up to get Jesus?" "Well, I don't know, Bradford." "Yeah, you do," the little sinner said softly. "They was just like most folks. They got what they wanted. Now they were gone." I thought about that. And I thought about Bartimaeus. Because did you catch what comes at the very end of this account? It says that Bartimaeus became a follower of Jesus. follower of Jesus is a disciple of Jesus. There's an interesting speculation about Bartimaeus, because Bartimaeus' name occurs in this account. So many of Jesus' miracles, we don't hear the name of the person who's healed, but in this account we do. And the belief is, for some, that Bartimaeus went on after the death and resurrection of Jesus to be one of those among the early church. And he was well known. And one of the things that he liked to do was to tell this story about how Jesus had healed him and how he had become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. So make no mistake, the miracle, the true miracle, is not simply restoration of sight, but it's the restoration of your spirit and your mind, your emotions, your soul, your total being. And Bartimaeus was healed. And it's that kind of healing that Jesus offers to people today. Heavenly Father, help us to be aware of our need, our needs. Help us not to be too ashamed to come to you and ask for mercy and grace. And as you minister to us, help us to resolve anew to follow you, even as Bartimaeus. We pray in his name. Amen. I invite you to stand, if able, to sing our closing hymn, 462, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. want you to be aware of what I want to do regarding our benediction. The benediction is printed in the bulletin, and my intention is to continue to use this benediction, and that we will eventually memorize it and just recite it together at the end of each worship service. So let's offer the benediction together. Grant us, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.